Nehemiah chapter number 3 is where we're going to go to tonight. You bear with us. The message we preached before has been several years ago, and I just run across and feel like this is where the Lord would have us to go tonight. Amen. Get to reading the verse, you might say, what in the world or where is he going? Bear with me. We'll get there. I promise you. So you be much in prayer, and we'll see what the Lord has revealed or showed us, and it is a blessed truth. It is a blessed scripture when you get to look at what it's all about and what it represents. Bible tells the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. I want to read verse 1 through 6, verse 13 through 15, verse 26 through 27. And then we'll share to you the thought we feel like the Lord would have to share for you today. The Word of God says this: Then Elisha the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. And they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel. Next to him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachor, the son of Imri. By the fish gate, the son of Hasanabi, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next to him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Next to them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next to them repaired Zadok, the son of Benaiah. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeah. And they laid the beams thereof, and set the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Verse 13 through 15, the Bible says this: The valley gate repaired Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zanoah. And they built it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Micaiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler part of Beth-Hakkerem. He built it, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain, Shalem, the son of Kohazah, the ruler of the part of Mizpah, he built it, and covered it, and set up the doors of thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah, by the king's garden, and to the stairs that go down from the city of David. Verse 26 through verse 27, the Bible says this: Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. That's where I want to start. Father, as we ask you, reach down, Lord, touch upon God the reading of thy word. Help us to be able to share the thought, share the scripture the way that you have to, Lord, that might be a touch and might be an encouragement and help to our heart, to those that may be here, those that may be listening, God, through social media. Father, may you allow your word to touch us and help us, God, respect to this scripture, respect to what you want to do. Father, I just want to praise you, uplift you, glorify you. This we ask in thy name we pray, amen and amen. Many of you in this building know, amen, where we're going to, but we see in the scripture that Nehemiah and the children of Israel were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem that had been laid in despair by the Babylonians when they destroyed the city and took it. It was 70 years of captivity that God said he would allow his people to go into captivity because of their disobedience, because of not doing following the will of God. And after 70 years, God allowed three groups of people to go back over so many years and find out he sent the first remnant back to begin to rebuild the temple there that it was entire. We find out he sent a second year, some 57 years later, he allowed a second part to go back and to began to restore the spiritual worship, which was Ezra. Then we find 12 years later after this, we find out was when, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, when, hey man, he got word from his brethren that the gates around the city, the walls are in disrepair, and the gates been burned down. Hey man, the Bible said that Nehemiah wept sore. Hey man, because of what was going on, because of the condition of a place, Brother Wayne, that he had never been. He had never been to Jerusalem, but he had always heard about it. And it broke his heart when he found out that the walls were still, the altar may have been built, the temple may have been rebuilt. Hey man, the spiritual worship by Ezra had that started, but yet they were, hey man, those walls were torn down to the fact that allowed everybody to come come in and hinder what God wanted to do there in Jerusalem. So it was imperative, amen, that God put in the heart of Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem, to a place, or not go back, but go to a place he'd never been, to be able to repair the walls and set up the gates to keep, amen, the heathen nation, to keep all those that were not of God's people, amen, from coming into the house of bread. Find out here, book of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah had went over there and began to talk to the folks and told them what needed to be done, what God had put in his heart. And he surveyed the situation, very calculated. If you look at Nehemiah, you'll find out he was very calculated. Hey, man, he was very intent on what he did. Hey, man, it wasn't somebody went there and haphazardly, hey, man, and started work, but he calculated the move that he made, went out, surveyed it, see what needed to be done, and then he went before the people and began to explain to them what was going on and what they needed to done. God put in their heart to follow him, get in there with him, and they began to rebuild the walls. Find out they began to rebuild the walls. After they got the walls, amen, they found out that the gates had been burned. They been needed repair. So we find out in chapter 3 that they began to repair the gates. Amen. And we find out that the gates that we see here symbolize some things in our walk with God. I've preached a series of messages on the broadcast about the different gates, amen, that was there and what they represent. And I'll go through them right quick like. The sheep gate, amen, represents a cross and a sacrifice for sin. The fish gate, evangelism, or our desire to reach the lost. The old gate, the old truths of the Word of God, Jeremiah 6:16. The valley gate pictures the humbling in our trials and our valley that we walk through. The dung gate, getting rid of the refuge or sin. The fountain gate is the work of the Spirit in bringing us back to the cleansing of the Word of God. And we find out the horse gate is the warfare that we face as a child of God. The east gate is the return of the Lord. The gate of Mifkad is the inspection or the judgment of seed of God. But there's another gate that's represented here that's called, and it's called the water gate. I want you to understand, if you look at all the other gates that I read, you'll find out it said they rebuilt it, or they rebuilt the wall of the gates, or began to work on that gate. But something significant about the water gate that it just blows my mind, and it just thrills my heart. Amen. Because the Bible said this in Nehemiah chapter number 3, verse number 27, moreover, 26, more than anything, and dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lies out. You'll find out that nothing is mentioned about repairing the gates of the water gates. You see, there's nothing that is made in the Word of God, amen, that speaks of anybody doing any work whatsoever up on the water gate. You say, preacher, why is that significant? Why is that interesting? It's interesting because of what it symbolizes. Hey, man, you'll find out that the water gate symbolizes the Word of God. Hey, man, you'll find out also that the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. We also find out that it was the seventh gate, which speaks of perfection and completion. You also find out that it was here at the water gate that Ezra read the law of Moses before there were people. What I want to get at, it was a gate that needed no repair. All the other gates needed repair to bring them back to where they're supposed to be. Oh, but I'm so glad, Brother Wayne, the water gate needed no repair. Hey, man, ain't you glad? Thank God the Word of God needs no propping up. Thank God it needs no opinions. It needs no improvisation or improvement. It need no modernization. Honey, it's settled. The Bible said, amen, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad, thank God, that this precious word, Brother Wayne, that we read from, this precious word that we preach, this precious word that I hold in my hand, many folks have tried to modernize it. Many folks have tried to improve it. Like Brother Perry made mention this morning, honey, this is a word that needs no improvement. This is a word that needs no modernization. A lot of folks that will preach here, I just can't understand that Bible. If you'll get saved, get born again, you'll understand it. That's what's wrong with a lot of folks. They're trying to understand something that they don't know spiritually. You can't understand of that word in the depths of it, the way that God wants it to, if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior of your life. But when we get saved by the grace of God, it is that spiritual part that allows us to learn and understand, and God reveals to us through his Spirit. Why do we need to know about this precious book? We find out it is a gate that needs no repair. Wherever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now I want to preach just to bring a few thoughts right quick, like talking about the word of God or talking about the word. Amen. First of all, we see the presence of the word. John said in John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm glad, thank God, the very presence of the word. Amen. I am so glad. Amen. When I get into the word of God, the very presence of his word, I begin to work in my life. And when God shows up, honey, I'm telling you, it is something that we never forget. How we see the presence of the word of God. Amen. When he's speaking to Moses, excuse me, there in the burning bush, we see it again. When he thundered from Mount Sinai, we see it again in the pillar of fire at night, in the cloud by day that led the children of Israel. It was his presence, Brother Wayne, that was with him. It was his presence, thank God. Amen, that was perfect. Amen, that knew what to do, how to protect his people, how to guide his people. And can I say today is still the same? I'm glad the word of God still knows how to guide me. Amen, it is what allows us to be able, amen, to know his word, and be led by that precious word, to be the light, to be the help, to stand when we need to stand, shine when we need to shine. It is the presence of the word of God. I'm glad, thank God, it is his presence that goes with us. It is his presence that guides us. You say, preacher, hey, and let me say this, and I've said it many times before. We got a lot of folks trying to, amen, follow the Lord. Never spend time in the Word. Honey, you can't follow God the way that he wants you to follow him if you don't spend time, amen, in his presence. Amen, I'm glad this is the presence of God. This is the word of God. And it is what allows us to grow. It is what allows us to understand. It is what allows us to perceive, amen, have a perception that we need. How to be able to see God when God began to move. Amen, how he wants to move in our life. It is through his precious word. Not only we see the word, the presence of the word, but we see the person of the word. Amen. I've already said in the beginning what the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the person of God, or God himself, that walked in the Garden of Eden there with Adam and Eve, amen, before how they sinned against God. He came down in the evening time and walked with them. Oh, what that must have been like, Brother Wayne, to be able to walk with God. Oh, but can I tell you something, church? We have that privilege today, amen, to be able to walk with him. Amen, maybe not physically, but spiritually. We can walk with him when his presence shows up. Amen, where we need to be in our relationship, Brother Stanley, with God, and walk in the way that he'd have us to walk. It's just sometimes like God's right there walking with you, taking step by step, with his arm around you. Amen. Every time you look into that precious word, and God's presence begin to show up in his precious word, sometimes you got to look over, Brother Ed, amen, make sure you ain't sitting there with you. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. It is the very presence, the very person of God. They're still walks with us. They're still there with us. Amen. And gives us what we need to know. So many folks, we don't see the Bible or the Word of God for what it is. It is truly the Word of God. It is His presence. It is that person. Can I say today, many folks, as I've already made a statement, amen, one of the biggest things, and can I hold up my hand and say, oh me, said it before, one of the biggest things we lack as a church and as individuals is time spent in the Word of God, time spent in the presence of God. The more that you spend in the presence of someone, the more you'll take on their attributes, the more that you'll take on their action. Amen, the more you'll talk like them, the more you'll act like them, the more you'll walk with them. Amen, really, we ain't walking, acting, talking like God. It's because we're not spending enough time in His presence. It is in His precious book, His precious Word, that we spend time with Him, that we are allowed to be like Him in our walk, in our actions, in our attributes. We see the person of God when he walked with Adam in the garden. We've seen him again when he spoke to Moses and said, I am that I am. You tell them that's who sent you. We've seen, amen, the fourth man that was walking in the furnace. And oh, amen, if I look down there, amen, and see who is that fourth man? He likened to the Son of Man, Son of God. Ain't you glad, thank God, that in the midst of our trials, he's right there with us. In the midst of our circumstance, he's right there with us. And we see again, amen, in Hebrews chapter number 1, when in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. I'm glad the Bible said in Hebrews 1 and 2, God is the Son returned in diverse manner, spake in time past in the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also he made the world. John 1:14, I quote again, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see the Word, the presence of the Word of God. We see the person of the Word of God, but we also see the perfection of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, amen, came of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. A lot of folks can't comprehend that. A lot of folks won't have that, brother. That's why Brother Perry may mention this morning. Amen. A lot of folks don't hold true to the Word of God as being the inspired Word of God. But can I tell you by the authority of God's precious Word, it is inspired by God. Amen. The Bible said that God moved through men of God to write the very thing that God, amen, spoke to them. It is the true inspired Word of God. Not only see that in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong confidence. Our consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the head, upon the hope set before us. Psalm 119, verse 1, 60. I like this. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endures forever. Can I say today, the book that I hold in my hand needs no improving. The book that I hold in my hand needs no modernization. The book that I hold in my hand, amen, is perfect in every way, in every manner. Hey man, can I say today it is perfect and it is true? The question is, are you going to accept it for what it is? Can I say we're living in a time when this book has come under attack? As you may mention, a lot of folks have said, well, preacher, how do they attack it? Hey man, they begin to attack it, amen, from every aspect. You've got a group of folks that, well, it ain't about the blood. Amen. I don't want that bloody religion. Amen. Well, it ain't about. I just don't believe in the virgin birth. I just don't believe, amen, in the creation. Honey, you take any part of this book away, you're taking away from the truth of the Word of God. Honey, if you can make a person, amen, not believe in creation, you can make them not believe in anything else in that Bible. Amen. We've got to hold that Bible is true in every aspect, in every point, amen, in every word, because it is the Word of God, and because it is the Word of God and it's true, and it is inspired by God Himself. Amen. Can I say today, we can take it to the bank. Amen. When those atheists or those folks come and get us, we can take the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, something that will be there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. Can I ask you the question? What are you going to stand for? You going to stand for the ideals of man that have not been proven, theories? Or are you going to stand for something that has been tried, been dissected, amen, been turned every which way and tried to make it be untrue, but in every aspect, Brother Wayne, every part that they tried to disprove the Word of God, they found it to be true. I've heard of atheists that have set out to disprove the Word of God. Say, well, if I can disprove the Word of God, amen, I can prove there is no God. Amen, those very atheists that tried to disprove the Word of God got in there, began to dissect, began to study intently the Word of God. Amen, when it was all said and done, amen, I've heard of those who were atheists that were going in, but when they come out, they said, there is a God. Why? It is that Word of God that's unlike any other book. Thank God, it's not
by chance. God didn't just say, well, I just need to put this bunch of word together. God in all his wisdom, all his omniscience, amen, literally took this Bible, amen, gave it to these men of God, amen, the way that he wanted it, that it was all arranged in a way, no matter how much you dissect it, you'll find it getting more complicated, more in-depth, the more you study it. No other book is like that. You can take a storybook, you can take Western, you can take romance, you can read them one time, you read them a second time, you'll get the same story. You won't find nothing new in it. But honey, you take the Word of God, you can take it, amen, began to study it, amen, study it, the same scripture, amen, on 8 different days, and I believe sometimes you'll get 8 or 9 different things that you see new each and every day. Why? It is the living Word of God. Why? Because it is a person or that precious Word of God. We see the perfection of the Word. We see the power of the Word. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints of marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I've seen it. Honey, you can look at the prophecies of this precious word. You'll find out that every prophecy that God's put, amen, either has been, amen, already come to pass or will come to pass. Amen, can I say today it is. I thank God the power of the Word of God. It is down. I mean, it was through the power of the Word of God that he spoke the world into existence. Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made, things which are not which do appear. Hebrews 11:13, he brought to life the dead. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 7:14, he went to a city called Nain, to a funeral possession. Amen. He took that young man, and he spoke to him. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He spoke life to a young man that was dead. Amen. In Mark 5:41, he went to Jairus' daughter that had already died. He went into the place of the room, and the Bible said that Jesus said, amen, she's sleeping. Amen. They began to laugh at him. Amen. She was already dead. Said, hey, she's sleeping. They began to laugh at him and mock at him. But the Bible said that Jesus said to her, Talitha Kumma, which has been interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The power of the word of the Lord's neighbor, Jesus Christ, that brought life to the dead, brought healing to the afflicted, brought eternal life to you and I. It is the power of God's precious word. We've got to ask the question tonight. We see the perception of the word. That makes the difference. How do we understand the word? What do we understand about the word? What is your opinion of the Word of God? Can I say your opinion, what you think about the Word of God determines, amen, what the Word of God can do in your life. As I already made this statement, a lot of folks think it's just a book, a storybook, but it's more than that. It is the Word of God. Amen. It is the perception of that word, amen, that identifies what God can do, what God will do, what God wants to do in our life. If we don't see that word as for what it is, amen, you'll never receive Jesus as Lord of your life. You'll spend eternity in a place called hell. But when we perceive that it is the Word of God, and that Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Amen. The Bible said that, amen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We will perceive, brother, way that word is true. Amen. It brings salvation to our heart. It is that perception that allows us to trust Jesus. Amen. To believe him and become a child of God. It is how we see the Word of God. It is what we perceive about the Word of God. If you take it just a storybook or wrote by man, by their own intellect, you'll not get what God wants to do in your life. But it's through that word, that perception of that word. You see, even in modern churches today, hey man, they're allowing false doctrine to enter in to the point that they're not perceiving that word in actuality what it truly means. Hey man, we're living in a time where you've heard me make the statement a while ago that a lot of modern churches don't want much to do with the blood anymore. Take that on, I don't want nothing to do with that bloody religion. Honey, can I say without the shedding of blood there is no remission? Honey, when you begin to take the blood away, hey, when you take part of the gospel away, honey, you take the virgin birth away, you take the gospel away. Honey, you take any part of the doctrine of salvation away, you're doing away. You're now looking that word the way that you need to look at as the true, perfect word of God. Amen, that needs no dissecting. Amen, it is what it is. And it'll stand up to the test of time. Already has. Already has. All the people throughout these ages have done their best to discredit and disprove the word of God. And it stood the test of time. As the word of God said, amen, heaven and earth, Lord, accord, it shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. And everybody dead and gone. Hey, man, everybody's either in a place called heaven or a place called hell. God's word will still be true. It'll still be the same. God, his word has never changed. Amen, I am the same yesterday, today, forever. I change not. Not only we see the perception of the word, but the perception of the word, amen, makes a difference or manifests itself in whether we take possession of the word. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm glad that one day I took possession of the word of God. Now, I don't mean I just grabbed the Bible, amen, and this book that I hold in my hand, and amen, when I got it from the store and paid them the money, and amen, to buy it, and it came back to my house, I took it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual possession of what the Word of God says. Thank God for God so loved the world we preached on this morning that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Honey, if you ain't got possession of the Word of God in your heart through the wonderful work of salvation, honey, amen, you need to get saved, need to get born again by the grace of God. It is by believing this precious Word and allowing this precious Word, amen, to do what it needs to be done and bring salvation to our heart, to our soul. I'm glad that you, old boy, I took possession of the Word, that person of the Word, the wonderful life of Jesus to come into my heart, amen, it took the boulder within me. I took possession. He took possession of me. It is the possession of the Word that we need to be concerned about. Honey, we got a lot of folks that believe in the Word. They thank the Word, God, what it is, but yet they've never truly accepted Jesus as Lord of their life. They've never applied that Word to their heart to the point they've accepted the gift of salvation and took possession of it. Let me say this, and I'll close. We've all seen many folks walk this aisle, just a pathway. But there's many other folks that walk aisles of other churches, amen, broken by the Word of God. Knelt at an old-fashioned altar, Brother Wayne, we've seen some of them walk away, changed by the power of God's precious Word. Then we see some of them that walk away, hey, man, 2 weeks later, you'll never see them again in the house of God. Didn't see a change. Hey, man, you know what the difference is? The difference is a possession and a profession. A lot of folk come and profess Christ and profess Lord, but yet they never possess Him. There's a difference between professing and possessing. Can I say today, we have got to possess by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I know what your word said, like I told Brother Henry Olinger several many years ago. I said, just like this, it's just taking the word for what it is, believing, hey, man, that word, that God will do what he said he'd do in his word. Hey, man, if he said he'll save us, if we cry out to him, hey, man, he'll do it. Can I say today, that is what possessing is all about, taking the word by faith, receiving it by faith, and allow it to change and transform us into a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is possessing the wonderful work or the wonderful gift of God. You can profess all day that Jesus is Lord. You can profess all day of what He can do, what He wants to do in your life. But until you receive Him through the wonderful work of salvation, you'll never possess Him. You can profess Him just like a good illustration, and I'll close. Good illustration. Hey, amen, Judas. amen, touched the very cheek of God, but still went to hell. Why? You can profess him all you want to, but until you possess him through the work of Calvary and what God can do, it'll not make a difference in your life. For church, I'm talking about the Word of God. Oh, that water gate symbolized the Word of God. It was the only gate of the 12 gates that needed no repair. It had always stood the test of time. Honey, I believe they probably had did everything. And y'all bear with me, and I'm going to fall in, and then I'll close. I can just imagine Brother Perry, maybe, or Brother Wayne, maybe they went to him, the Babylonian, went to that gate and tried to burn that gate, and it wouldn't burn. Maybe tried to tear that gate down, and it wouldn't tear it down. I just want to believe that, amen. Why? Because it didn't need no repair. Why? Because it stood firm. When everything was coming in, when everything fell down, it stood firm. Ain't you glad for this precious word? The song that the little kids sang, the B-I-B-L-E. That's enough for me. I'll stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Honey, it may be a kid's song, but it holds some powerful truths. Honey, we need to realize that it is truly the Word of God. Amen. And we can stand on that precious Word because it's already stood the test, and it'll continue to stand the test. When everybody else, amen, has fallen, it'll still be there because it is the Word of God. It is something that needs no repair. It is true. It is inspired. It is precious. Like the old evangelist, I can't think of what his name, but brother, I know Brother Wendell can, hey man, can remember his name, used to stand there and preach, you sing my old precious Bible. That's him. But yeah, that's him, Brother Vernon Cates. He'd used to stand there and he'd hold that precious Bible and he'd sing that song, him and his wife. And boy, that always did just impress me and always just touched my heart to see him do that. Honey, that's where we need to be. We need like be like Brother Vernon, just have such a love for the Word of God. For what it's done, for what it is, hey man, and what it's going to do. Because it is the Word of God that you've been saved by the grace of God that's changed you from the vile creature you used to be to what you are now, a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is that needs no repair. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. God, may you touch upon our hearts. May you take the Word, apply it to the hearts of those that were listening, those that were watching. God, allow it to do in their heart what it's done in my heart. God, allow it to do in our heart more and more every day. Realize what it is. Realize that it is something we can trust in, something we can look to, something we can cherish, something we can hang on to, and something we can build our lives on. It is your precious Word. God, touch right now. Move right now. God, touch the hearts and lives of those that need to be touched. We ask this in the name we pray. Amen. And amen. If you need to come, you come.